Well, thank you very much, everybody. The folks behind me got us right over the top from North Dakota. So North Dakota made a big statement, and I just really appreciate it. We will not forget it. Thank you very much. I want to thank a very good friend of mine, Harold Hamm. I guess we can consider Harold the king of energy.
Yeah.
There's nobody like him. I'll tell you, he knows more about it than anybody that I know. So, Harold, I want to thank you for your support. You've been amazing right from the beginning. My friend for a long time. And I've been on the cover of every magazine. I think he's had as many covers as I have, maybe more, Harold. So, congratulations and thank you very much for your support. Okay, folks. Yes, John.
Good day to you, sir. President Obama today at the G7 summit in Japan ignored the time-honored tradition that politics ends at the water's edge to take a real swing at you, saying that world leaders were rattled about the prospect of you becoming president.
That's good.
But he also,
I love that word. He used the bad word because he knows nothing about business. When you rattle someone, that's good, because many of the world, as you know, many of the countries in our world, a beautiful world, have been absolutely abusing us and taking advantage of us. So if they're rattled in a friendly way, we're going to have great relationships with these countries. But if they're rattled in a friendly way, that's a good thing, John, not a bad thing.
But he also went on to say, sir, that you show an ignorance of world affairs, a cavalier attitude, and that you're more interested in tweets and headlines than thinking about what's required to keep America safe. And I'm wondering if you'd like to respond to that.
Well, look, he's a president who's done a horrible job. Everybody understands that. He's a president who's allowed many of these countries to totally take advantage of him, and us, unfortunately. And he's got to say something. And it's unusual that every time he has a press conference, he's talking about me. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But I will say this. He is a man who shouldn't be really, you know, airing his difficulties, and he shouldn't be airing what he's airing where he is right now. And I think that you're going to see it stop pretty soon. He has not done a good job. Today we're giving a big speech on energy. We're going to see some amazing things happen with our country on energy. And I look forward to doing it. But President Obama, you know, you see what's happened. You see where we're going. We're a divided country. We have tremendous difficulty, tremendous problems. And we're going to solve those problems. We're going to solve them fast. Okay?
Mr. Trump,
your campaign chairman today, Paul Manafort, told the Huffington Post that as you're building your VP list, it's probably unlikely that there would be a woman or a minority in that mix, because that would be pandering, something that you do not want to do. Can you respond to that?
No, I think it's likely that we would have somebody, but we don't do it for any specific reason. We're looking for absolute competence. I fully expect that we will have many women involved with, not only, I mean, I've had it with the campaign, but we're going to have many women involved, and I think that you're going to see that, and you're going to see that very strongly. So I look forward to it, and I know he was misquoted a couple of times. He's been misquoted, actually, a lot, but we're going to have women involved at the absolute highest levels.
Mr. Trump, during the Republican primary, you repeatedly attacked your opponents for being funded by big donors, big money donors. Started now fundraising, doing some really big ticket fundraisers. How do you convince your supporters that you are not going to become the puppet that you accuse your opponents of being?
Well, I'm no puppet, and I'll tell you, I'm raising the money for the party, largely for the party. And we intend to raise a lot of money for the party. I have no idea how much, but we're raising it for senators, for congressmen, congresswomen. We're raising it for a lot of the people that are running. We want to go in. We want to have majorities. It's very important. We have a tremendous staff of people. We raised last night, actually, we raised in Los Angeles, we raised a lot of money for the party. And this is money that's going into the RNC. And we are going to have, I think, a tremendous, we're getting thanked all over by the Republican senators, by congressmen, and hopefully we're going to raise a lot of money. But this is money that's being raised for the party, and I think we're going to have a tremendous success. I'm also continuing to fund big portions of my campaign.
Mr. Trump.
Mr. Manafort was also quoted as saying that if you did release your taxes, he wouldn't advise it because it would just serve to help your adversaries. He seemed to sound as if you're not going to release your taxes.
No, I'm releasing when we're finished with the audit. I have to say the IRS has been very professional, and they continue to be very professional. And when they finish, I've been audited, however, for 15 years. And I don't know of very many people that have been audited for 15 years. I'm audited all the time, so I don't know what that's all about. But the IRS has been very professional, And as we move along, as soon as that's finished, whenever that may be, and hopefully it's going to be before the election, I'm fine with it. Okay?
And just to be very specific on this, you do pay some federal taxes.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Mr. Trump,
in the wake of yesterday's Inspector General report from the State Department about Hillary Clinton's emails, you've said that you have doubts about whether or not she can stay in the race against you. But are you prepared right now to actually call on her to get out of the race so that Americans can have more confidence in the integrity of their frontrunners?
Actually, I sort of like her in the race. I want to run against her. Look,
but is that the right
she has bad judgment. This was all bad judgment. Probably illegal. We'll have to find out what the FBI says about it. But certainly it was bad judgment. I just read the report. It's devastating, the report. It's devastating. And there's no reason for it. It's just, you know, skirting on the edge all the time. And you look back at her history, and this is her history. It's a very, very harsh report, done really by Democrats, if you think of it, appointed by Obama and done by Democrats. So it's shocking to see it. It's shocking to see what she did. And really, more than anything else, it's bad judgment. But that's going to be up to her whether or not she wants to continue running.
You talk a lot about uniting, how you're working right now to unite the Republican
right.
Party. But I noticed this week when you were in New Mexico, for instance, you went after the governor there. Does this clinching this number now, does this change your approach at all?
Well, I think it will. I haven't yet, I think I will probably, but I haven't had the support of the governor of New Mexico. You know, she was opposed, she was on somebody else's side, which is fine. I mean, that's everybody's right. I imagine she'll come over to my side. If you look at what's happened, tremendous support from all over the country. Senators, congressmen, we have governors all over the place, and vast majorities. I think the approval now is up to over 90%. That's tremendous from where I started. You know, a little while ago it was like 62%. But I won the elections in landslides. You know, very important to say. You look at these elections. We go to New York. We win almost 62% of the vote with three people running. We then go to Pennsylvania, which is going to be, I think, a state that we're going to do amazingly well. You know, Hillary Clinton wants to put the coal miners out of business. They want to put the steel mills out of business. I think I'm going to win Pennsylvania easily. We have tremendous support there. Maryland, Connecticut, we win Delaware, Rhode Island, and then we win, as you know, I mean, we had a tremendous success when we went to Indiana. That was incredible. Bobby Knight helped, in all fairness, but Indiana, we're going to win Indiana, I think, very big. So we're going to have tremendous successes. But, you know, the thing I think I'm most proud of, not the fact that I'm watching Hillary instead of Hillary watching me, you know, we were supposed to be going into July, and a lot of people said it wouldn't even be solved during that convention. There's going to be a new convention in August. And here I am watching Hillary fight, and she can't close the deal. And that should be such an easy deal to close. But she's unable to close the deal. So I'm watching her, and we'll see what happens.
Do you plan to stop attacking Republicans, fellow Republicans?
Oh, yeah,
at
sure.
Event?
Absolutely.
Done with that?
Mr. Trump.
Yes.
Hi. I'm Nicole. I was inquiring, are you planning on recognizing tribal sovereignty on a nation-to-nation basis based upon the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which the U.S. had endorsed?
I'm going to have to look at it individually, and I will be doing that.
A
number of people have asked me, I will be doing that, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Katie? What is your message to Republicans that haven't
yet
supported you, people like Susana Martinez? Do you have something to say to her directly?
No. My message is that we've had tremendous support from almost everybody. And even if you look at Congress, I mean, the support has been incredible. And I spoke with Paul Ryan last night. We had a very good conversation. That's moving along. He's a good man. And we'll see how that all works out.
Can you elaborate on that?
No, just we had a very good talk.
I have one other question. Also in that Huffington Post article where
I don't read the Huffington Post. Was there an article in the Huffington Post? Well, I'm sure he was misquoted because it is true. I didn't think they covered politics, the Huffington Post. Do they cover politics?
Apparently they do. You said that you were going to start softening your position on the Muslim ban. Is that true?
Well, we're going to look at a lot of different things, but we have a big problem. We have a radical Islamic terrorism problem. It's a worldwide problem, not just this country, and we have to find a solution. And we have to be vigilant, and we have to be tough and smart. We'll see what happens.
Yes, I was pretty serious when you said that you wanted to debate Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I'd love to debate Bernie.
But would you actually take the steps to...
Well, I said last night on Jimmy's show, you know, question that was posed, and I said I'd love to debate them, but I want a lot of money to be put up for charity. So what we'll do is if we can raise for maybe women's health issues or something, if we can raise $10 or $15 million for charity, which would be a very appropriate amount. I understand the television business very well. I think we'd get very high ratings. It should be in a big arena somewhere, and we can have a lot of fun with it. I'd love to debate Bernie, actually. I mean, the problem with debating Bernie, he's going to lose. Because honestly, his system is rigged, just like our system's rigged. Look, if I didn't win by massive majorities, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you today. I mean, you know, I knocked out every opponent. You have to knock out. And Bernie, unfortunately, hasn't been able to knock out. But the superdelegates for the Democrats, it's so unfair. So the biggest problem I have is that Bernie's not going to win. But I'd debate him anyway if they wanted to put up money for charity. So we'll see. We've actually had a couple of calls from the networks already.
Well, and we'll see. Have you guys started talking to the Sanders folks?
Well, he's the one that suggested, let's debate.
Jeff Lieber said his team has been having conversations with your team.
It's true. I'd love to debate Bernie.
But
they have to pay a lot of money for it. Because, look, I'm in first place. I've won, I'd say, something over $10 million.
So if you raise $10 million, you'll get on a debate stage with Bernie?
Yeah, I would love to, yeah. I would love to.
What's the likelihood?
I'd love debating.
What's the likelihood?
And I know you people never write this, but every single poll, on every single debate, the online polls, Drudge and Time Magazine and all of them, I won every single debate. I didn't know I was going to do that. I've never debated. You know, politicians are all talk, no action. I've created jobs and businesses and did great, but I've never debated professionally. I ran against all these people. They debated professionally. But according to every single online poll after the debates, I've won every single debate by every single poll. So I don't mind debating. I'd like to debate. I've actually, the one thing was I said to myself, I wonder how well I'll debate. You know, because guys like this great gentleman right over here is one of the great oilmen of the world. We're not debaters. We're people that put people to work and do things and a lot of good things. How many people do you have working for you?
Contractors, tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands. That's what he does. Now, I'd rather debate Harold, but I will tell you, he may surprise you. He may do very well. But we don't do that. But somehow it worked out well for me. It worked out well for me. So I actually love the debating process. Had a lot of fun. I was on center stage for every single debate. And the only time I was upset with some of the networks was when we had even numbers, like 8. That means you had 2 in the middle. So I always insisted on having odd numbers. Go ahead.
Well, what role do you think the federal government should have on regulating energy now that you're here at this petroleum conference?
I think the federal government should get out of the way. The federal government is in the way. We have so much potential energy that people wouldn't even believe it. In fact, my speech today is on energy. It's exactly what it was and is. The federal government, the regulations that they have, they put the coal miners out of business. The coal mines are shut. What they've done to the coal, what Hillary Clinton, she's worse than Obama. She actually openly said, I want to put the coal miners out of business. I want to put the coal mines out of business. Essentially, she's saying, I want to put the steel mills out of business. We're not going to have any businesses left. So Hillary is, I can't imagine how she could possibly do well in a place like Pennsylvania. She certainly didn't do very well in West Virginia. And, I think she made a big mistake. And she's catering to certain people, but I think ultimately jobs and these incredible people, the miners, they're incredible people. I asked a couple of them, why don't you go into some different profession? They said, because we love going after coal. I'll never forget the answer. You know, you think it's dangerous and you're going deep down into these incredible crevices. I say, wow. But they love doing what they do. That's what they do. It's like me, you know, I grew up, my father was in real estate, I'm in real estate, and now I'm in politics. You wouldn't believe what happened. He's looking down saying, what happened? But with the coal miners, they love doing what they're doing. Hillary Clinton, and it's such an important product, Hillary Clinton should not be putting them out of business.
Mr. Trump, how about
Elizabeth
Warren? Building
on that, would you be for bringing more refineries here to the U.S. so we can become more energy independent?
I want to be energy independent, yes, absolutely. I want to be energy independent. And I haven't spoken to Harold about that, but I would say energy independence is what we all want. And we also want to sell our energy to other places that don't have the great natural resources that we have. Don't forget, through modern day technology, we found out that we're sitting on energy. I'm going to be talking about it in a minute. But that we're sitting on energy like nobody would believe. Mm-hmm. I want to be energy independent, and the answer is yes to your question.
Mr. Trump, Paul Ryan has still not endorsed you. What policy concessions are you willing to make in order to get his endorsement?
Well, we'll see what happens. We've had great conversations, and we'll see what happens.
Mr. Trump, do you still believe that, would you still want to ban all foreign Muslims from the United States on a temporary basis? Is that still your policy?
As of this moment, I am very unhappy. When I look at the world of radical Islam, I'm very unhappy with it. We're going to find a problem, and we're going to come up with a solution. Obama could never come up with a solution. Number one, he's incompetent. And number two, the solution just is never going to be out there for him. He won't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism. I have many Muslim friends. They said to me, Thank you. This is a problem. It's a problem that has to get solved. And we have to have turn-ins. When you see people that are looking to do tremendous destruction, like in California with the 14 people killed, they lived in a house where they had bombs all over the floor. Everybody knew that they were up to bad stuff. Nobody reported them. People have to report when they see it.
Okay,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Right, good. I know, I see it by far. I was so, very impressed.
So, what are the main factors those jobs are going away and the mines are closing? Low natural gas prices?
It's true.
Poor decision making by coal companies.
And by government.
And also because of slowing international demand. So do you believe you have power as president to actually bring those jobs?
I do, because I think ultimately coal will be very inexpensive. And you got to get rid of some of the regulations. I spoke to some of the mine owners, and they were surrounded by some of their miners, and they were showing me some of the regulations where it's on a daily basis going in, checking, and they have people that do nothing but deal with regulators, and it's out of control. It's gotten out of control.
And what would you do about the market forces?
Well, the market forces are going to be whatever they are. You know, all I can do is free up the coal, which I'm going to totally do, get the companies back to work. Market forces, that's something I don't want to get involved with. That's a beautiful, to me, a market force is a beautiful force. Yeah, go ahead.
Sir, I'm from the only Canadian press here. The Keystone XL problem caused great disruption between Canada-U.S. relations. Could you approve the Keystone XL project to be used by TransCanada to build it?
Yes, I would.
Mr. Trump.
Now, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be a better deal. See, Obama would approve it or not approve it. Right? Hillary is probably not going to approve it, from what I understand. But I look at it differently. I will absolutely approve it 100%, but I want a better deal. Because, listen, here's the difference between Harold Hamm and myself and you, or, let's say, Obama, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Here's the difference. I'm going to say, folks, we're going to let you build the pipeline, but give us a piece. We're going to have to use eminent domain. You know, remember when all the conservatives said, eminent domain. Well, their favorite project is the Keystone Pipeline. And if you read the documents on the Keystone Pipeline, a big section is devoted to eminent domain, because without eminent domain, that pipeline wouldn't go 10 feet. You understand that. I want the Keystone Pipeline, but the people of the United States should be given a piece, a significant piece of the profits. Right now, Obama would have said yes or no. And most politicians would say, yes, we'll approve it, or no, we won't. I'm saying, yes, we will absolutely approve it. I want it built. But I want a piece of the profits, because we're making it possible for it to happen through eminent domain and other things. I want a piece of the profits for the United States. That's how we're going to make our country rich again, just one way out of thousands. But that's how we're going to make our country rich again, and it's how we're going to make America great again. Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Mr. Trump, would like to build a pipeline from Williston and Mr. Hamm could actually ship his oil through into Saskatchewan.
This is a different pipeline?
It's called the Upland Pipeline. 300,000 barrels a day, TransCanada will be the...
Do you like the idea?
That's great.
No. Do you like the idea as a reporter? You're not supposed to say this, but that's okay. You like the
idea.
We would look at it. Look, I'm going to look at anything. You know, a lot of times pipelines are so much better because instead of going on trains and having all of the problems caused by that, it's underground and environmentally they're better in many cases. But we're going to take a look at it.
The difference is that this pipeline will allow Mr. Hamm to export oil through Canada, into Canada, also overseas through the port.
Okay, well, I'm not aware of that one, but we would certainly take a look at it. And I will tell you, my basic bias would be to approve. I want to approve for jobs, and the concept of pipelines is okay if they're going from the right place to the right place. Okay? So we'll take a look at it.
Mr. Trump,
sir,
I have
a local small business magazine. So for Main Street, small businesses and chambers of commerce across America, what are the keys to economic vitality?
Well, I tell you, two of them that are very, very important are lower taxes. We're the highest taxed nation in the world by far. Lower taxes. And the other one is we're overregulated. And I will tell you, I made a speech last night in front of a group, and I said regulation, and this surprised me, really surprised me. I've seen it over, you know, ever since I've been doing this for like 10 months or so. And regulation is even more of a problem for people than the taxes, which surprised me. But they're both problems. So we're going to lower, under my plan, we're lowering taxes very substantially, as you know, for businesses, for middle income, for everybody. So taxes are going way down. We're going to allow trillions of dollars to pour into the country that are right now outside of this country, where people and companies want to bring it in, they can. And we're going to get rid of the tremendous number of rules, regulations, probably 75% of which are absolutely terrible for our country. Okay.
Elizabeth Warren, she seems to have made it her job.
Who, Pocahontas? Pocahontas.
Well, should you
right,
use
right,
that?
She is
very offensive. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Pocahontas? Is that what you said?
Very.
Elizabeth Warren?
Why are you having this?
She tweets a lot about me. Every once in a while I'll tweet. And when I tweet, you know, not that many people are watching our tweets. When I tweet, they watch. I will say this. Look, she is a senator that's highly overrated. She's passed very little legislation. She has been a real disaster for a lot of people, including the Democrats, who frankly can't stand her, many of the Democrats. Just ask Hillary Clinton how she likes her. And I'll debate anybody. I don't care. I debate her. But she's done very little for Massachusetts. And the beautiful thing is, when I won Massachusetts, with many people running against me, I got up to almost 50%. And she was fighting me. So I really think if her record was exposed, and the fact that she was a Native American, she said she was Native American, but she wasn't able to document it. She said, well, I have high cheekbones. You see, I have high cheekbones, so I'm a Native American. And she then, I don't know if you'd call it a fraud or not, but she was able to get into various schools because of the fact she applied as a Native American and probably able to get other things. I think she's as Native American as I am, okay? That I will tell you. But she's a woman that's been very ineffective, other than she's got a big mouth. Okay, go ahead in the back.
Mr. Trump, you said that you would do a debate with Senator Sanders if you raised the issue of raising money for women's health issues. I'm wondering, is that the particular charity that you would like to...
I would like to go women's health issues. We've raised a lot of money. In fact, on Tuesday, we're going to be releasing a tremendous list of all of the money we've given, you know, with the debate, when I decided that I wanted to do this instead of go to a particular debate with a cable network that actually has been unbelievably fair over the last few months, I have to say. But I felt I wasn't treated right. I did a speech, and during the speech I said, let's see if we can raise some money for the vets. So we raised a lot of money. On Tuesday, I think we're going to have a press conference in Trump Tower, Tuesday at probably 10 or 11 o'clock, and we're going to release a full list of all of the people. Almost $6 million worth of money was raised. Now, when I started that, I said maybe, well, I started it, we weren't going to raise anything. It was just an idea that came to me. And I said, you know what, let's raise some money for the vets. And one of my friends who was there, a very substantial person, Phil Ruffin, offered $1 million. Carl Icahn gave $500,000. Somebody else, another good friend of mine, Stuart Roy, I believe he gave $1 million. And all of a sudden, we started getting a lot of money. And I love seeing it. And on Tuesday, we're going to release a list of all of the different veterans groups that got the money, pretty close to $6 million worth of money. And that was great. And what I do, if we did this debate, I'd like to do something similar, where they'll pay this. In this case, it'll be just a payment by the networks. I mean, why should the networks have a debate like this, make a fortune, sell it to sponsors, and put the money in their coffers? I would much rather give, and probably in this case, to various groups involved with women's health issues. I think it's appropriate. Okay?
Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Now that you have hit the magic number of 1,237.
I'm so honored.
That is really
good. I'm so honored to be in North Dakota.
Yes, well, we're glad you're
so honored by these people. They had such great sense.
Exactly.
Right?
But now as you set the sights on being president, What do you do in those first 100 days? What's the first thing Donald Trump...
Well, I have many things to do. Number one, I'll be unwinding various executive orders, and I'll be unwinding executive orders in particular having to do with the border, where people are pouring into our country that aren't supposed to be here, and we'll be unwinding that. We'll have a lot of things to do. We're going to start rebuilding our military. We have no choice. We have no choice. It's not like, oh, gee, do you want to do it? We're going to make our military bigger, better, stronger than ever before. I saw the other day, actually on CNN, but where the jet fighters were using parts from museums and graveyards, plane graveyards, where they're taking old parts for our fighters, for F-16s. And they were interviewing some of the pilots. These are great people. And they were saying they're so embarrassed and so ashamed of what's going on. This shouldn't be the United States. So we're going to rebuild our military. We're going to have the finest equipment in the world again. And nobody's going to mess with us. Very simple. And by the way, I'm the last person in terms of the draw. I won't have to worry about the draw. I'm the last person. I didn't want to go into Iraq, unlike Hillary and other people. And we shouldn't have gone into Iraq. Iraq was a mistake. And then the way Obama got us out was a tremendous mistake. So we're gonna have a lot of fun that first 100 days. We're going to start the process of making America great again. Okay, how about a couple of more?
Yeah. I was wondering, first you have to, of course, get through the general election. So how close do you think your campaign staff is to being ready for the general election campaign?
Well, we're building our campaign staff. I mean, one of the reasons I made a deal with the RNC is, which to me is, I think Reince has done a really good job, but you know, they build over years and years staffs in every state. You can't do that, or you can't do it very well if you're doing it all over the next few months. So now I just learned I got the nomination. And again, this was something that was going to happen, according to some people, in August. And some people were saying, because of the second convention, which would have been ridiculous. And many people said it was going to go into the July. And then we had that massive victory in Indiana. I won't forget the people of Indiana. Believe me, that was a massive, massive victory. And, you know, so here I'm sitting. So I'm watching. I love watching Hillary and Bernie go at it. In fact, Bernie's given me some great lines, which I'm using, believe me. But I will say that as far as building the infrastructure of the campaign, the RNC has been doing it for many years. Reince has really upped it. And all over the country, they have very good people. And part of the benefit is we get to use those people. And while I'm raising a lot of money for them, and they're going to use that not only for me, they're going to use that also for other people running for office, it's really been an honor because I've met some of the people in different states. I met a big group of people last night from different states that work essentially for the RNC. And you can't do that over a period of, you know, just a short while because, you know, we have November's coming up very rapidly. It's going to be very soon. And they are set up with some really great infrastructure. Okay, how about one or two more?
Mr. Thompson's sister has called your comments to the Washington Post about cruel, irresponsible, and wrong.
Well, the question was asked about Vince Forster, and it was asked of me. What do you think of Vince Forster? I really know nothing about the Vince Forster situation. Haven't known anything about it. And somebody asked me the question the other day, and I said that a lot of people are very skeptical as to what happened and how he died. I know nothing about it. I don't think it's something that, frankly, really, unless some evidence to the contrary of what I've seen comes up, I don't think it's something that should really be part of the campaign. But again, if you people reveal something to me, I'll answer it the appropriate way. Okay, one more. Yeah.
Here in North Dakota, fracking is on the forefront of everyone's minds. Right. Bernie has said he would ban fracking completely. Hillary said higher regulation. How would you deal with
that? Well, Bernie is going to ban fracking. Hillary is going to ban fracking. Hillary is going to abolish the Second Amendment, okay, just in case you have any questions. She's going to abolish your right to own guns. She's going to abolish the Second Amendment. And I'm exactly on the opposite. And I got the endorsement the other day from the NRA, which was a great endorsement and a great honor for me because they are great, amazing people. I'm a member of the NRA. My sons are members of the NRA. But they want to absolutely knock out fracking. And you do that, you're going to be back into the Middle East and we're going to be begging for oil again. It's not going to happen, not with me. We're going to open it up. We're going to be energy independent. We're going to have all sorts of energy. We're going to have everything you can think of, including solar. And I know a lot about solar. The problem with solar is it's very expensive. It doesn't really, you know, when you have a 30-year payback, that's not exactly the greatest thing in the world. But I know a lot about solar, and I've gone solar on occasion, but it's a very, very expensive thing. Wind is very expensive. I mean, wind is, without subsidy, wind doesn't work. You need massive subsidies for wind. And there are places maybe for wind, but if you go to various places in California, wind is killing all of the eagles. You know, if you shoot an eagle or you kill an eagle, they want to put you in jail for 5 years. And yet the windmills are killing hundreds and hundreds of eagles. One of the most beautiful, one of the most treasured birds, and they're killing by the hundreds and nothing happens. So wind is, you know, it's a problem. Plus it's very, very expensive and it doesn't work without subsidy. So, but I, despite that, I am into all types of energy. And by the way, while we're in North Dakota, I have to say this. I love the farmers, and the farmers are incredible. We have to remember, this was largely a farm state, and they produced tremendous crops of tremendous different goods, of which I eat a lot of them. And I just want to pay my respects to the farmers of North Dakota, because they have done a great job.
Quick follow-up.
All right, one more, go ahead.
With that, will you keep the ethanol mandate past 2022?
Well, we're going to look at that, and we're going to meet actually with the governor of Iowa, who's a tremendous guy and a friend of mine, and we're going to talk about it. A lot of people want that to happen. We will be making a decision fairly soon.
Given the low volume of crude oil exported since the ban and regulations were lifted by the federal government recently, right, what would you do to increase and stimulate growth in those volumes?
Well, that's going to really be up. I'm going to open it up so they can sell, but that won't be up to people like Harold. If he wants to sell to other places, I'm not going to help him. Nobody can sell like him. But now I would open it up and I would keep it open, get rid of the regulations. And people like Harold Hamm and you know, people that I know that are really competent, super competent, believe me. And we'll start, we will make so much money from that, from energy, because we're blessed with something. And you'll hear some numbers in a little while. We will make so much money that we will start to pay down our $19 trillion in debt. And we'll start to lower taxes. And we'll start to take care of our Social Security and our Medicare. But we're going to open it up. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. David, go ahead.
Now that
he wrote a couple of good stories about me, so I have to. I have to.
Now that a couple of
he wrote a couple of bad ones though too. Don't worry about it.
Now that a couple of women have taken issue with the way they were portrayed in a recent sort of major story.
Yeah, I'm so honored by that. Yeah.
Do you think you're done answering questions now about whether you're a sexist? Are you done, or do you expect more of that?
Well, I think so. I tell you what, I was so honored because the New York Times did this massive story on the front page, and they quoted three women and another woman. Many of the women have come forward saying, we have great respect for Donald Trump. We really like Donald Trump. That's not what we said. That's not how it was portrayed. And they actually said this was going to be a wonderful piece. And the New York Times has been totally discredited. And the construction person, I just presented many, many emails. And I think I sent them to you, David, and I did send them to you. Many, many emails where she's asking for a job back, because after she was gone, I never took her back. She wanted her job back. And she wrote a book in which she says the nicest things about me. And she wrote me letters saying, you are the least sexist person. You are not a sexist. I don't even know why she mentioned it. Anybody that would mention that in a letter, it's a little bit strange because nobody accused me of it. But she writes me a letter. But she wrote many emails asking for her job back. She's been totally discredited. So the New York Times story has been totally discredited. The New York Times, I can tell you from personal knowledge, is very, very embarrassed. It was a total hit job in Donald Trump. And to put a story like that above the fold with a massive picture of myself standing with Miss Universe contestants, or maybe Miss USA contestants, who, you know, which I owned, which I sold recently to IMG. I sold the pageants to IMG. Good deal, by the way. But for them to put a story like that above the fold of the New York Times, I can tell you they are very ashamed of that story. And for the women to come out, Roanne as an example, to come out and be brave and say, that is not, who would do that? It was so nice. And I did not speak to her when she did this. And I just spoke to her more recently and I thanked her because it took courage to do that. And for her and others to come out and go forward and say, you really, really mistreated us by writing the story the way you wrote it. And we have great respect for Donald Trump and like Donald Trump very much. The New York Times was totally discredited. And honestly, they should be ashamed of themselves. So it's been a great event for me. I hated reading the story, even though this was not, you know, major allegations of very much stuff, as you understand. One of them accused me of saying, don't eat that candy. In fact, a friend of mine called up and said, it's not too serious. But you know what? They made it like it was such a big violation. Don't eat that candy. So I appreciate, I sent it to you, and I appreciated the story that you wrote about it, because the New York Times has been totally discredited, and I will tell you, they are very embarrassed by that story. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
What role would Congressman Kramer play in the administration?
Well, just a talented person. I mean, and he's been there for a long time, right? Pretty much right from the beginning. Come here, get up.
Hey!
Been there right from the beginning.
Well, you've changed my life. I guess if you're one of the first 7 or 8 members of Congress to endorse somebody, your life gets changed. Mine's been changed. But I'm glad you're here. Appreciate Harold's invitation. Appreciate your comments on energy. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of it.
Are you missing any votes today, Kev?
I missed voting for the Energy and Water Appropriations Bill that failed miserably. So I didn't miss a thing.
Hey, Mr. Trump, on that point.
Thank you, everybody.
On that point, Speaker Ryan suggested that he's withholding his endorsement because he wants
Let's see what happens. Thank you, everybody.